Good morning and welcome back. I hope that you guys had a good snow break. I'm actually wondering if you're going to hear this because I'm hearing that we're going to get more snow. I know that you guys have missed me terribly and I've missed you too. So I am in Columbus at a technology conference and I will be back on Thursday. Hopefully we will reconvene then. Until then, you are going to work on Shakespeare's sonnets. Now, we're going to learn more about Shakespeare later when we start to study Macbeth. If you look in your book on page 223, Shakespeare's sonnets, the mysteries of love. Valentine's Day is coming up. Maybe you can write your little sweetie a sonnet. There are 154 sonnets altogether. The speaker is male, and the chief subject is love. Now, these sonnets were probably written between 1592 and 1597. This is when Shakespeare left Stratford upon Avon, where he was born and lived most of his life, and went to London. And at this time in London, literature was booming. There was a lot of writing going on. Remember, we are in the Renaissance period, and people are very curious, and people are reading more. The printing press is in there, and people have access to more books. Okay, take a look on page 223, there in the middle. It's asking the question, is the sonnet speaker a dramatic character invented by Shakespeare, kind of like how he made up Romeo or Macbeth or Hamlet, or is it himself? He does call himself Will a few times, and he does make puns on his name, but is there any evidence that Will is the speaker in all of the sonnets? If the sonnets are about the real man Shakespeare, then who are the real people behind the characters the sonnets mention? There's the rival poet, the beloved young man, who may be the subject of many of the first 126 sonnets, or the beautiful and exciting dark-complexioned woman of some later sonnets. Now, the first 17 sonnets are written to a young man, urging him to marry and have children, and this would be passing down his beauty to the next generation. These are called the procreation sonnets. Most of them, however, 18 to 26, are addressed to a young woman, expressing the poet's love for him. Sonnets 127 through 152 are written to the poet's mistress, expressing his strong love for her. And the final two sonnets, 153 and 154, are allegorical. The final 30 or so sonnets are written about a number of issues, including the young man's infidelity with the poet's mistress, self-resolution to control his own lust, and just some criticism of the world. Remember, everyone had an opinion at this time. Continuing on, there where it says, and in the 1609 publication, who is the Mr. W.H. mentioned as the only begetter of the sonnets? Is this the young man or is this someone else? These and dozens of other questions about the sonnets have been asked and answered over and over again, but never to anybody's satisfaction. We have hundreds of conflicting theories, but no absolutely convincing answers. So, when this was published, was it Shakespeare's exact words? Did someone take them and make them their own? What kind of order are they in? You know, they're numbered. Are they in a specific order? Are they jumbled? Should they be rearranged? Those are a lot of questions that scholars ask themselves, and really there's no correct answer about that. So what we're going to do is look at the sonnet's form on page 224. On 224, we are going to learn about the form, and sonnet 18 is listed there. It's probably one that you've read before or seen before and you just really weren't familiar with it. We're going to talk about the English sonnet form known as the Shakespearean sonnet. We've talked about a couple others, but the Shakespearean sonnets are constructed from 3 4-line stanzas, which are called quatrains, and a final couplet composed in iambic pentameter, with the rhyme scheme ABAB, CDCD, EFEF, GG. Again, this form is known as the Shakespearean sonnet. Now, shortly we're going to look at sonnet 18 and also look at the meter so we can go back and review what the girls taught us last week. In sonnet 18, the first line's question is followed by negative answers. The speaker's beloved does have some resemblance to a summer's day, but only superficial ones. The first two quatrains concentrate on the summer's day imperfections rather than on the loved one. And then comes the turn. And this is also called a volta, VOLTA. And it's a shift in focus or thought. Here, the speaker turns from the faulty summer's day to the beloved. And by the end of the third quatrain, the speaker has entirely abandoned the opening comparison. So the word turn is a metaphor. The speaker, figuratively speaking, is churning from one thing to another. And it's almost as if the speaker kind of has an epiphany or a revelation about something, that kind of aha moment where they've learned something. Now, I would like for you to click play on the video below, and we are going to look at Sonnet 18. We'll hear it read aloud, and we're going to look at it in iambic pentameter and look at the meter, the stressed and the unstressed syllables. I know you guys are super excited.